Welcome back, everybody, to the Football Fanatics Podcast. We've been off for a little while with the NFL and college being on a little bit of a downslide on news, but over the course of the next hour to maybe a little bit more than an hour, me and Derek are going to do our first annual mock draft of the first round of the NFL draft that comes to us courtesy of the NFL next 1 week from today, emanating from Detroit. Derek, how's it going on your end?
Good. Everything is good. Glad to be back. Obviously glad to be talking football, if it's at the high school, college, or NFL level. But like you said, the one big thing everyone looks forward to kick off the is the NFL draft, and we are exactly 1 week away before we find out how good teams are going to be, how teams are going to improve, and and then on the other hand, how bad did teams draft?
Yep. There's eventually. I mean, we won't know this. This year, but in a couple of years, we'll know how much of a success the draft was, or how much of a bust it was. We will be joined shortly by a special guest. His name is Corbin Smith. He is a beat writer for the Seattle Seahawks out there on the West Coast. He will be helping us in doing a little bit of our mock draft. Oh, there he is. Hello, Corbin. How's it going?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Sorry for the late arrival here. I was wrapping up my own podcast. So,
oh, no problem. Tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, I'm the host of Locked On Seahawks. We do 5 days a week covering the Seahawks and tons of NFL draft stuff. My co-host Rob Rang has been covering the NFL draft for 20 plus years. He's one of the best in the business. So I'm blessed to be able to work with him. And so, we do a show every single day during the week and during the season, six or seven shows a week. It's busy, but we love it. So,
yes. Interesting fact, Corbin is from Indiana, Auburn, Indiana. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Grew up north of Fort Wayne, and your co-host here, Mr. Vance here, got to coach with me for a couple years as well. So,
was that Park Tudor or Franklin Central?
Franklin Central.
Oh, okay. Great, great school out there on the far east side of Indy. So, so basically, we are Corbin. What we're going to do today? We're gonna go. We only have you for a short time, I know. So we're gonna do 1 through 16 of our draft. What we've got, all three of us are going to go around and choose who we want, who's going to go first, and if you have any trades, and see how it goes. But that gets us all the way up to number 16, which I know you're interested in. It's going to be the Seahawks coming up.
Sounds good, guys. I actually have my draft together, and we can go through the entire draft if you guys want, because I was able to do my podcast ahead of this show. So,
oh, that's fantastic. Okay. Well, let's get started. We all know who the consensus number one is going to be, but are either of you going away from Caleb Williams, or are you going to both choose Caleb Williams for the Chicago Bears?
You know, I don't know that there's been a bigger boom or bust number one pick coming into the draft than Caleb Williams. I could see him being an absolute superstar. I could see him being the next Ryan Leaf in terms of just completely fizzling out, but you can't skip out of the upside here. And the Chicago Bears, they traded Justin Fields away. You got to go with the quarterback here that's got the highest ceiling, which to me is still Caleb Williams. So I think Williams at number one, this is going to happen. They're not picking anybody else there, regardless of what smoke screens they're throwing out. They're going to be picking him.
Derek?
I think Corbin, Josh knows exactly where I stand on this. I am not a huge Caleb Williams fan. I thought he had a better Heisman campaign when he won the Heisman than he did this year. I think he looked average at times, especially against Notre Dame this year. And I feel personally that the quarterback, and Corbin and Josh, you both know this, has to be the leader of your team. And in my eyes, I don't believe Caleb Williams is a leader of men. I don't, I hope he proves me wrong, but that.
So you're gonna you're breaking out there a little bit. You don't think he's a leader of men, but you are gonna say that the Bears take him number one, correct, Derek?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's who I have also. Me and Derek share the same attitude on that. We don't think that Caleb's going to be the next Peyton Manning or, as some people have said, Patrick Mahomes. But the Bears are not going to take that chance, and they are going to take Caleb Williams. Now it all becomes thrown up in the air because, I mean, everyone knew who the number one was going to be, but there's been lots of speculation about who the number two to the Washington Commanders is going to be. Corbin, who do you have going?
This has been one I've been kind of going through my communication grapevine, trying to figure out who the quarterback is going to be at this spot, because there's no way that the Commanders are going any other direction, especially after trading Sam Howell to the Seahawks. Ironically, they're not going any other direction here. And I have heard a very mixed bag in terms of some of the guys I've talked to have said it's going to be Jaden Daniels and the other side is Drake May. Based on the discussions that I've had, I can't see them passing up on the Heisman Trophy winner. I think that Jaden Daniels is going to be going to the nation's capital. And I think that would be an excellent fit on Dan Quinn's team with some of the receiving weapons that they have there. The only concern I really have with him is his durability in the NFL, just because he is built like a twig, but the guy can sling it. He's a really athletic player and really put everything together at LSU. So I think Washington is going to go with the player that is the more polished prospect and maybe has the higher ceiling between him and Drake May.
Derek, who are you going to go with?
I'm actually thinking along the same lines Corbin is, and I'm going to go with the Jaden Daniels at number two.
Okay. Well, I guess we're all in consensus. I am going with Jalen Daniels too. He's a prototypical quarterback. He's a little green, a little raw. I mean, he could be a little bit bigger in my opinion, but when it comes to the Commanders, I just don't think they're going to take any chances, and they're going to take a leap and go with Jaden Daniels. The next pick is number three. We have the New England Patriots here at number three, which is an uncustomary position for them. They're usually not this high. And also, they have a new GM and a new head coach after years of being under Bill Belichick as the GM and the head coach. This year, they have changed. So I'm going to change it up and go with Derek. Who do you think the New England Patriots are going to go with?
Well, the first two picks have been quarterbacks, and I'm going to follow the same suit. I think Drake May from North Carolina, I think, fits exactly what he could be, maybe the next Tom Brady. I know that's a stretch, but I'm going to go New England with Drake May at three.
Corbin, how about you?
Derek and I talked about this before the show, and we eliminated trades from here. I think this pick is going to get traded, ultimately, is what's going to happen. I think the Minnesota Vikings, everything I'm hearing, Minnesota's ready to give up the farm to move up to number three. But for this instance, New England clearly needs a quarterback, and Drake May is the number three guy here. I think you could make an argument that he and Jaden Daniels, depending on system, have the equal opportunity to be top 10 caliber starters in the league with proper development. This kid's just a little bit more raw on film. There's more head-scratching plays, and yet the plays that make your jaw drop for good reasons are tempting enough with the arm strength, the smarts that he has, that I think that New England, if they're going to stay there, this has got to be the pick. They can't go with a receiver who's going to throw him the football. They've got to have that quarterback. So to me, it's Drake May here as well at number three.
Okay. In consensus, we are all. I'm going to go with Drake May also. He showed a lot of talent at North Carolina, and he's got a lot of time underneath his belt. So the next one, it's going to be the Arizona Cardinals. They're on the clock. Arizona, of course, has Kyler Murray as their quarterback, and there's been speculation that they may trade out of this. But who do you think that they're going to choose here, Corbin?
They could trade out of this spot, but when you have a chance to get a generational receiver for Kyler Murray to throw to, why would you trade this pick away, especially when you already have another first-round pick in this draft? And I know Derek is going to be gushing about this guy, and for good reason. Marvin Harrison Jr., he's taken this whole process differently than we've ever seen a top five player, where he really hasn't been focused on combine and media visits. He's focused on getting ready to play in the NFL. And quite frankly, the more I've learned about it, I love the approach that he's got. And I just think that he is one of the best all-around receivers that we have seen come out of college football in a long time. And so NFC West defenses, Seahawks included, your guys are going to have some fun dealing with Marvin Harrison Jr. I think this is a home run, easy pick for the Cardinals here at number four.
Derek, who are you going with?
Well, and Corbin is absolutely right. If Chicago wouldn't have traded Justin Fields, Josh, you know how much I was pounding the table for Chicago to take Marvin Harrison Jr. And if you'd have paired him up with Justin Fields and all of the talent that Chicago has brought in, it'd have been a no-brainer. But with Chicago doing what they did, I think Corbin's absolutely right. Why would you pass up a generational receiver? And in my opinion, out of the three that are going to fall in the top 15 picks, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the most polished of the three. So if I'm Arizona and Marvin Harrison Jr. is there at four, I am taking him and not thinking twice about it.
Well, we're all in consensus, but I am going to change it up. I think that they're going to trade out of this. And I think the trade partner is going to be really weak. It's going to be a stretch, but I think due to this, due to Marvin Harrison's senior's history with the Colts, I think somehow, some way the Colts are able to trade. I think they sell the farm. They give up their next three first rounders and they go and they get Marv. I think they trade up and they pick up Marvin Harrison Jr. For not only the owner but also the fan base, because that would be one of the most popular picks. So
I'll tell you what, Derek would appreciate this, but I'd have a feeling that you're going to have to deal with some really wild people in Indianapolis if that ends up happening.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, the owner ultimately could play the owner card and say, "Look, this is what I want. Go make it happen." Chris Ballard may not be happy with it, and Chris Ballard may not want to be the GM anymore. But I think with the owner and the lineage that the Harrison family has here in Indy, it may not happen. It's like I said, it's a far-fetched thing, but I think that's what's going to happen. So now we move on to one of my new favorite teams, because I love their head coach, the Los Angeles Chargers. Derek, what do you think?
Well, I think here where you're going to go back-to-back receiver and maybe the second best receiver in this draft behind Marvin Harrison Jr., I think the Los Angeles Chargers take Malik Nabers.
It's a pretty good pick. Pretty good pick out of LSU, I do believe. Corbin, what's your thought on this pick?
I was leaning towards Nabers myself, and then I remembered who the new head coach of the Chargers is, and You can't tell me that Jim Harbaugh is not going to want to build up that offensive line first. That is going to be the first thing that he is going to do. You've got, this is not a generational player like Marvin Harrison Jr. was, we just talked about, but Joe Alt is a damn good tackle out of Notre Dame. Him being there for the Chargers at this fifth pick, this could be a spot I could see a trade down in reality, but if the Chargers are sitting here, it's going to be between a tackle and a receiver. I think Jim Harbaugh is going to be pounding the table for Joe Alt. Let's get this offensive line going so we can run the rock. We can protect Justin Herbert. This is a good receiver class. We can go get a receiver later in the draft. Let's get our trench play taken care of first.
I could see that with Harbaugh's affinity to run, want to run the ball like he did in Michigan. He's not going to be able to do it in the NFL, but I know he's going to want a staunch up front line. I'm going to say the trade. Hold on, Corbin. You and Derek had a conversation. Should we not do trades, or should we just do straight down?
You can do trades all you want. I rolled the dice straight here on this. Okay. So
I just want to make sure, because I didn't want you coming in with if you had trades that you wanted to put in, but you couldn't because you thought we couldn't. But I'm going to go the Los Angeles Chargers trade down. They trade with Minnesota. Minnesota comes up here. And they pick up their quarterback, and it is going to be J.J. McCarthy. I've heard nothing but great things about Minnesota. They've been heavily studying all the quarterbacks, but I've been told and looked at different stuff that they've been looking at J.J. a lot more. And I think the Los Angeles Chargers will end up picking up two picks in this. They'll pick up Minnesota's 11, and they'll pick up Minnesota's number 23. So I think they're going to take J.J. McCarthy at number five and with Minnesota. I know that's a lot to give up, but in my opinion, if they just give up two first rounders this year, and they don't have to give up any more first rounders the next couple of years as the Colts did, I think that would do wonders for Minnesota. And they already have they have Justin Jeffries that JJ can come in and throw to. So you pair JJ up with JJ, and you've got a great combination. So on to number six, we have the New York Giants. Who do you have, Corbin, going to the New York Giants at number six?
Well, you just talked about this particular player, and I know that you just gave all this money to Daniel Jones a couple years ago, but if you've watched Daniel Jones play, the guy is not a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. He just isn't, and J.J. McCarthy would come in right away and be the starter for that football team. I know they would say it's going to be a competition, but this is J.J. McCarthy's job. And he can handle the limelight. He can handle playing on the big stage. He has already proven that. So throw him into New York. I think this kid's got the moxie and the charisma to be able to play in that market. So this would be the ideal landing spot for him this early in the draft. If there's not going to be a trade, the Giants certainly are going to be trading out of here if they have a chance to get one of those top four quarterbacks. So I think J.J. McCarthy lands in New York here and becomes a starter on day one for the Giants.
Okay, good pickup. How about you, Derek? What do you think at number six for the Giants?
Well, it's proven, and let's go back to, I don't know, not too far back in the way back machine, Tom Brady. To get a successful quarterback, you can wait later in the rounds. I think Bo Nix may be there in the second round. But I have the Giants taking their franchise tackle to protect that new quarterback that they draft, and the player that Corbin talked highly about. This is where I find Notre Dame tackle Joe Alt, 6 to the Giants.
Okay. I think that they're going to go with – I think they're going to pick up a quarterback later on in the round – later on in the draft. I think there's one of two quarterbacks that could be there in the second round when the Giants go to pick. So I am going to give that new quarterback somebody to throw to. I am going to say – the Giants pick up Rome Odunze out of Washington. I know he didn't have a fantastic national championship game. He was a little thrown off by what Michigan did, but I just think Roma Dunze is he's a little bit on my board. He's a little bit higher than Malik Nabers. So I think the Giants are going to go with Roma Dunze. Next up, we've got the dumpster fire known as the Titans. They don't know what quarterback there is. You know, they got their current maybe starting quarterback likes to put mayo in his coffee. So who do you think that they're going to pair up with the mayo coffee loving quarterback there, Corbin?
They've got to get the pass protection and the run blocking taken care of. This offensive line used to be one of the best in the league, but then it got old. They lost some players to career-ending injuries, and then they had the horrible pick where they brought in Wilson from Georgia, the first rounder, and I think he played like two snaps in the NFL. Ended up being an absolute disaster. They need a tackle, so I was saying Taku and Olu here. Olu Fashanu from Penn State, to me, the number two tackle in this class, a more athletic tackle that has the ability to zone and gap block, and he's going to be able to protect Will Levis so that he can drink his coffee with his mayo in the pocket. So they absolutely need an offensive lineman, particularly a tackle. I think Fashanu is a great selection for them here to get that line shored up and try to get it back to being a strength for this football team.
Okay. How about you, Derek?
I'm thinking on the same lines that that Corbin is on this. Tennessee hasn't had a great tackle since Taylor Lewan. It kills me to say that. But I think they're looking for their Taylor Lewan in this draft. And the tackle from Penn State is going to be that guy. So I think that's who they're going to go with at 7.
Good, good, good. I am going to go with somebody you guys have already picked. I'm going to go with Joe Alt. I mean, we're all pretty much in agreement that they need a left tackle to come in there and protect Will Levis and his blind side. So I'm going to go with Joe Alt from Notre Dame. Next, we move on to Atlanta. This is a team that went out there and made a big splash, and they got Kirk Cousins as their new quarterback. And I know that the owner of the Atlanta Falcons wants to get back on track and make this team more presentable to their fan base. So, Derek, who do you have the Atlanta Falcons taking at number 8?
Well, with Atlanta at 8, I think this is where the first defensive player gets chosen. You know, like you said, they do have Kirk Cousins on the offensive side of the ball, and they've paired him up with Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London as his skill players on the outside. So I think this is where the first defensive player gets taken off the board, and I'm going to match Dallas Turner from Alabama, an edge rusher, to Atlanta at 8.
Okay. Corbin, who do you have going to the Atlanta Falcons?
Derek and I here, and I thought about Jared Verse from Florida State, who, quite frankly, I think is the better prospect of these two. But the Atlanta Falcons have long been enamored ever since Art Blank has been the owner. They have been enamored by the super athletic, flashy pass rusher off the edge. And Dallas Turner is a very good football player. So this is not just, oh, he's fast and I just want to bring in a speed guy. It's not an Al Davis-like pick, but this is a guy that had 8 sacks last year at Alabama. He's been extremely productive. He plays with a high motor. I just can't see the Falcons passing up on Dallas Turner here and keeping him in the South, bring him in and put him on that Falcons defensive line day one, make him a starter, let him get after the quarterback. They could go a number of directions here. This is a team that I'm actually really curious to see what they do, but edge rusher is a significant need for them.
Gentlemen, we're all on the same page here. Before you guys even made your picks, I wrote down Turner and Dallas Turner. They need an edge rusher. And why not take one of the best ones off the board in Dallas Turner from Alabama. Next up, we have the Chicago Bears. They are back on the clock at number 9. Who do you think, Corbin, that they're going to take at number 9?
I was strongly considering an offensive tackle here to help with the blocking for Caleb Williams, but I look at the receivers and they still need an alpha dog in this receiving core. And in my mock draft, Malik Nabers is still available. And there's a chance he could be gone earlier than this, especially if you include trades in the mix here. But Neighbors catching passes from Caleb Williams. If you want to give Williams the best chance to reach his potential, give him that alpha on the outside to go with DJ Moore, who's a really good player, but he's not the, to me, he's a solid one. Neighbors could be a top five caliber one. Bring him in. It's just going to make Moore that much better. So give Caleb Williams some weapons. Malik Neighbors from LSU here at pick number 9.
Derek, who you going with?
Well, me and Corbin are thinking the same, except my receiver is going to be a little different. Can you imagine the Chicago Bears in 2024, Caleb Williams under center, DeAndre Swift as the running back, and your outside weapons are DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Roma Odunze with Cole Kmet at tight end? So I think Chicago at 9 goes wide receiver, as Corbin just alluded to. But I would pick, if I was Chicago, Roma Odunze.
Okay. I am going to go with a tackle. I'm going to go with the best tackle that's still left on my mock draft, and that's Olu Fashanu. I think that the Bears have learned – hopefully they have learned the fact that they need to protect their quarterback. They'd never protected Justin Fields to begin with. I think they never brought in the weapons to try to help him, And he was always running for his life. So I am going to go with Olu Fashanu out of Penn State. So that brings us to the New York Jets. We're into the double digits now. We have the New York Jets are up next at number 10. Derek, who do you have the New York Jets? Who's going to be our next president, Aaron Rodgers' next teammate?
Well, I think last year proved that Aaron Rodgers isn't getting any younger, and they need a heir apparent in New York to the aforementioned Aaron Rodgers. And the one guy that I think can handle the bright lights of New York, and Corbin alluded to him just a few picks ago, I think the New York football Jets, go with J.J. McCarthy, quarterback from, that team up north.
Can't even say it still. Okay, Corbin, who you have?
If the New York Jets do not draft a tackle at this spot, everyone in the front office should get a pink slip in the middle of the draft. Just tell them to leave the facility. They had one of the worst offensive lines that I have ever seen last year. You turn on the tape, and Seattle actually just signed one of the players off their line, Laken Tomlinson, who I think is a quality guard, but everything was such a cluster around him last year that he looked terrible. I mean, that was a horrible line. Troy Fatanu from Washington is going to be a day one starter that has an all-pro ceiling at left tackle. He can play guard as well. They just need offensive line help. So Fatanu, a player I know a lot of Seahawks fans are hoping falls to 16, not happening in this mock draft. The New York Jets get that blindside protector so that Aaron Rodgers hopefully doesn't have another Achilles injury, because he actually has some pass protection.
He's gonna need protection for sure, but I'm not gonna give it to him. I'm gonna give him another weapon. I am going to give him. You got Wilson on one side, you got Neighbors. I'm gonna go with Malik Neighbors. He's a 6'6", 200-pound wide receiver, and I think he's got the length and the speed to be able to go out there and help give Rodgers another MVP like season, and then they'll just lose in the first round of the playoffs like Rodgers has done for so many years. So next up, we have at number 11, Minnesota. Minnesota for you two, and the Los Angeles Chargers for me. So Corbin, who do you have Minnesota choosing at number 11?
I don't know if this is how this actually plays out in the real draft, because when you throw in trades, the Vikings have a chance to move up. They've got the ammunition with two first rounders to go up and get the quarterback. But I do not understand for the life of me why more people are not talking about Michael Penix Jr., who was the Heisman runner-up last year and has an absolute cannon, can run. He's just a really good football player. So the fact that he has not been picked at this point, Minnesota needs a quarterback. This kind of reminds me of when Patrick Mahomes got picked by the Kansas City Chiefs at pick number 10. Minnesota might pick the fifth quarterback here, and they have a chance to have the best quarterback in the NFL from this group. Michael Penix could be that guy throwing to Justin Jefferson as a deep threat. So I've got Michael Penix Jr. going to the Vikings here at number one. This might be one where not making a trade up ends up benefiting them, and they can go get him somebody else that he can throw to or more pass protection with their other first-round pick.
Okay. Derek, who do you have Minnesota taking?
Well, Corbin brought up Michael Penix Jr. My only concern with him, and this is big around the NFL, obviously, yes, he does have a strong arm. He can make plays with his feet. His staying healthy is one thing that would bother me. I think with Michael Penix Jr., his past in college football with his knees, that would send up a red flag to me. But I think Minnesota is going to make the back half of their defense a little better. I think it's gotten a little weak over the years, and this is where I think the first Alabama corner gets taken off the board, and it's not Kool-Aid McKinstry. No, I think they go cornerback Tyron Arnold from Alabama.
That is an interesting pick to pick the other Alabama corner above Kool-Aid, who had more pub. For me, with my trade earlier, that brings the Los Angeles Chargers up on the block, and I think they are. I think with his time at Michigan, Harbaugh has shown that he likes tight ends. So he is going to go ahead and pick up the best tight end on the board, Brock Bowers out of Georgia, the two-time Mackey Award-winning tight end who can not only block, he can also go out for passes. And if anything over the last couple of years has been proven that through Gronk or Kittle or Kelsey over in Kansas City, having one of those long those tight ends that can go out and catch long passes, yep, and get the mismatches with those linebackers is going to help the new Chargers coach. Now we move on to Denver. Denver's a conundrum because they need a lot of stuff. Who do you think that they're going to choose with the number 12 pick, Derek?
Josh, I think you hit the nail right on the head. Denver definitely has a lot of holes. So with the pick at 12, I like the UCLA defensive end, Latua. I believe that's how his name's pronounced. I know he's long, but I know watching him at the Senior Bowl, he looked a little lanky. So maybe he'll bulk up a little bit with their strength and conditioning. But Latua, the edge rusher from UCLA for Denver at 12.
Okay. Corbin, who you have them taking?
We are in the same zip code because the top five quarterbacks are off the board. I can't see Denver drafting Bo Nix this high. I think that would be a reach at the quarterback spot. So with Penix off the board, I'm going to go with the pass rusher, but I'm going to go with the most complete one of this entire draft, in my opinion. You turn on the tape of Jared Verse, you want to talk about a guy that is physical. He plays violent football. He's a great run defender. He can win with finesse and power. I don't know how many times I saw him knock ACC tackles on their backside with speed turned to power. I would not be surprised if he's the first end off the board. In this case, we had Dallas Turner, but Denver needs a million different things for that team to become competitive again. And one of those spots that they need is a pass rusher. Jared Verse could be a cornerstone player for Sean Payton's team at number 12.
Yep. I am going to go with someone out of the Big Ten, defensive tackle,
Jerzon Newton.
Jerzon, there you go. Sitting here trying to read this, Jerzon Newton. I think he is I think Denver needs a they need a defensive tackle, a big defensive tackle. I mean, he's not big, but he's a gap filler. So I think they're going to go with Jazan Newton at number 12. Next, we move on to Sin City in Las Vegas with their brand new head coach. They need a plethora of stuff. So Corbin, start us off. Who do you think that the Raiders of Las Vegas are going to take?
I see a lot of Jim Harbaugh in Antonio Pierce, and I think that comes from him playing all those years for Tom Coughlin. He's kind of got – I don't think he's quite as hard as what Tom Coughlin was, but he's got kind of that old-school approach, and he's going to want to build from inside out. Talifuaga from Oregon State is the nastiest offensive lineman that you are going to find coupled with the power. I think Graham Barton might be the most violent offensive lineman in this class, but Fuaga's got way more size. He could play tackle at the next level. He could play guard for the Raiders. They want to make this team all about the silver and black again, and we're going to smash you. Fuaga is a guy that can make that happen, and they might be able to get a quarterback later, but right now they want to build the trenches, and Fuaga would be a perfect fit for Antonio Pierce's Raiders.
Okay. Vance, Derek, what do you think you got?
Oh, Corbin, how great minds think alike. When you put Fuaga on tape, you show me a better Las Vegas Raider than Fuaga. So I think you're absolutely right. Fuaga at 13 for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Those are all good picks, gentlemen. But I am going to go. It looks like they need in my research that I just did just a second ago, they need a tackle. So I am going to choose, Amarius Mims out of Georgia, 6'7", 340 tackle. I think that they're going to go with offensive line, but I think they're going to go with Mr. Mims. So now we have moved on to New Orleans, the Big Easy. Where do we think the New Orleans is going to go, Corbin?
This is one of the really tough ones for me in this mock draft because this feels like one of those teams where I don't really know what direction that they are trying to go. You signed Derek Carr last year, but then they've released some receivers. Their salary cap is a mess year in and year out. Eventually, all of that money getting kicked down the road is going to catch up. They're going to have to blow this thing up at some point. But in this particular mock draft, I thought about adding a receiver for Derek Carr. I thought about maybe going to the defensive side of the football. And ultimately, I picked Liatu Latu from UCLA, who, Derek, you had him going a couple picks earlier. I think Latu is the best pure pass rusher in terms of polish in this class. His neck issues a couple years ago, that's something that I'm a little concerned with, though his medicals have been good in the pre-draft process based on people I've talked to. He's just really polished as a technician. And when the Saints are at their best, they need to get back to that. So I think Latu in the Big Easy would be big money for the Saints.
Derek, who do you have them taking?
Well, again, me and Corbin, on the same wavelength here. I looked at edge rusher as well, and then I looked at how weak the NFC South is offensive line-wise. So this guy was chosen, I think, a few picks ahead. But on my board, the New Orleans Saints are going to pick the defensive end from Florida State, Jared Verse, and just let him eat.
Great minds think alike, Derek, because I also chose Jared Verse for this pick. I think it makes a lot of sense for New Orleans. They want to get back to that big bruising defense that they had back when they were bounty hunting players and taking and hitting 50-year-old Brett Favre high and low and trying to knock him out of the game. Okay, now we move on to number 15. Locally here, you two still have it down as being Indianapolis. Vance, who do you think Indianapolis is going to choose ultimately?
Well, you know me. I have been on this guy since the combine was over with. Hell, I was on this guy during the college football season. And I think you give Anthony Richardson another weapon with Michael Pittman being the receiver that knows the sticks. And you have Alec Pierce developing as a downfield threat. Josh Downs developing as a downfield threat. And give Anthony Richardson one more weapon that's going to open up the middle of the field in the seams. Yes, the tight end that can do everything from Georgia, double B, Brock Bowers.
Very, very, very good pickup for the Indianapolis Colts. Corbin, who do you have the local team here taking?
Brock Bowers was initially who I was going to pick, but look, every draft there's a player or two that slips a little further than what you anticipate they're going to. And with the way that my draft has played out to this point, Rome Odunze is still out there. And I'm sorry, as solid as Michael Pittman is and some of the secondary receivers the Colts have, if you can give Anthony Richardson Rome Odunze, who could be a superstar in quick order in the NFL with his size, his speed, his playmaking ability, you cannot pass up on Rome Odunze here. So I think you get that true bona fide superstar number one receiver for Anthony Richardson, and you bring in Rome Odunze here.
Okay. Of course, earlier in the draft, I had the Indianapolis Colts going crazy and trading all the way up to number four. So that means Arizona's on the clock. And I'm going to go with the other wide receiver from LSU and Brian Thomas Jr., 6'4", 205. I mean, that's going to give short little Kyler Murray, he may not be able to see over offensive line, but he's going to be able to see that guy running down the field trying to catch balls for him. So I'm going with Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver out of LSU. And now we've come to Corbin's favorite team, the team that he follows and does so much research on. So I'm anticipating. I can't wait. We're going to go with Derek first, then we'll go with me. Then I want to hear what Corbin has to say for the Seattle Seahawks. Who you got?
Well, I would imagine Corbin is probably going to totally 100% disagree with who I would pick if I was Seattle, which I don't know why you'd want that, but anywho. Seattle wants to get back to the defense they had with the Richard Shermans and earlier in the Pete Carroll era, I feel, and I could be wrong, but there's a corner that stands out to me that I think Seattle would fall in love with. The only knock on him, I think, is he played in the MAC, and obviously we all know what the competition is in the Mid-American Conference. But if I was Seattle at 16, I like Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback from Toledo.
Okay. That he playing in the MAC, playing in those smaller conferences is not always a detriment to teams, to players. And I am going to go with, where did he go? I'm going to go with Latu. I'm going to add an edge rusher for the Seattle Seahawks out of UCLA, 6'5", 265. I think he'll be able to get up to the quarterbacks in that NFC West, and they're definitely gonna need it as that conference has gotten a lot better. So Corbin, who out of your painstaking research of your favorite team, who do you think your team's gonna choose?
So I would push back against Derek's pick because Seattle drafted Devin Witherspoon last year. They've got Reek Woolen as their other corner. Mike Jackson could start for a lot of teams. He's their number three guy. So Seattle has been known to throw snowballs, so I would not say it's completely impossible that John Schneider could do that, but this team badly needs offensive line help, so I'm not going to pick an offensive lineman. I'm going to pick the player that I think John Schneider is going to, if he hasn't already, he is going to fall in love with, and Mike McDonald, their new coach, is going to fall in love with. They want to have a safety that they can move all over the field with this scheme. Cooper DeJean from Iowa, he played outside corner for the Hawkeyes, but I think his future in the NFL is a perennial all-pro safety. The guy has ball skills for days. He's the most instinctive corner I have ever scouted. No joke. The guy just knows where the football is going. That's why he had three interceptions returned for touchdowns 2 years ago for Iowa. He is just a stud. He hits people. He had three missed tackles all of 2022. I think Mike McDonald is going to be putting his fist on the table, whether it's 16 or trading down and saying, I want Cooper DeJean. You put him with Devin Witherspoon and Reek Woolen, that secondary, it has a chance to be special for Mike McDonald in that scheme.
Corbin, you're not worried about any injury, seeing DeJean is coming off of an injury, and he just now was able to actually get a pro day in.
He ran a 4.42. He's fine.
Okay. The Al Davis, he runs fast, so let's pick him.
He hadn't had any injuries until that. It was a fluky practice injury, and he's fully healed. I would have it. It's different than Latu with his neck, where I'd be like, that kind of scares me a little bit.
Okay. Next, we have up as their fans would yell, Duval. Jacksonville is on the clock next. Corbin, who you got going to Jacksonville?
So I'm going to give the Jags a corner, because if you watch Jacksonville last season, ultimately missing the playoffs, they just had issues with giving up some big plays on the outside. Terrion Arnold from Alabama, with his size, his length, his athleticism, he can play outside and inside. They get a bona fide number one potential corner there, which I think is their biggest deficiency on the roster. So they get Arnold, bring him to Jacksonville, and instantly upgrade their pass defense.
Okay, Derek, how about you?
I think Jacksonville here is going to try to get maybe a little younger on the offensive line, particularly at tackle, help protect Trevor Lawrence there a little bit. I'm going to go with somebody that Corbin mentioned earlier, the offensive tackle from Washington, Troy Fuatanu.
Okay. I am going to go with cornerback. I'm going to give them Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo. They need a cornerback desperately, so that they're not getting burnt by Anthony Richardson, which I fully believe Anthony Richardson will do all day this year. Next up, we have Cincinnati, the Nasty Natty, up next are the Bengals. Who do you got, Derek?
Well, we're going to go offensive tackle here as well. You can never have too many of them, especially when Joe Burrow has to drop back 30, 40 times a game to win a game for Cincinnati. I do like the tackle out of Georgia here, Marius Mims for Cincinnati at 18.
Okay, Corbin.
Jerzon Johnny Newton's going to change one shade of orange for another. I think the Bengals need to add a disruptive playmaker on the defensive line. They lost DJ Reader in free agency, and Johnny Newton, he is just a monster. In my scouting report, I listed, he is like an atom that's decombusting after the snap. That's the way that he plays. He just plays a fast, electric style football. The Bengals score a lot of points, so they're in situations where they need to rush the passer. This guy would fit in perfectly with their scheme. So this might be one of my favorite picks in my mock draft so far. The Bengals getting Johnny Newton, I think, would be a home run for Cincinnati.
Okay. I think Cincinnati still needs to work on their offensive line. So I'm going to give them J.C. Latham, offensive tackle out of Alabama. I just think that Burrow, he's been injured. Had season-ending injuries two of his years that he's been there, and he wants to stop running for his life and possibly not get hurt anymore. So they're going to take J.C. Latham, offensive tackle out of Alabama. Next up, we have a team that usually has not had a first-round pick in a long time because they traded most all of them away for Mr. Stafford. That is the Los Angeles Rams. Corbin, who do you think they are going to take?
Very familiar with the Rams, getting to watch two of their games in person every year in the NFC West. And Tyler Higbee suffered a significant injury last year at the tight end position. They've got Cooper Kupp. They were able to go out and add a couple other stud receivers last year. I think you get a tight end that can be a game changer. And in my mock draft, Brock Bowers has not been picked yet. Seahawks fans will be trembling about this. You give Sean McVay Brock Bowers to go with the two stud receivers that he has on the outside. This offense may be unstoppable with their passing game as long as they can protect Matthew Stafford. But I got Brock Bowers going to the Rams at 19.
Okay. Derek, who do you have?
I don't know, Corbin, but that would be a scary thought, adding Brock Bowers to those two receivers on the outside and a veteran quarterback like Matthew Stafford under center. But you said the key there, they have to protect him. And this is where the aforementioned J.C. Lantham from Alabama falls, in my opinion, to the Rams at 19.
Well, we all know that the Rams just lost a big person in the middle of their defensive line. And, you know, when you can't replace a player like him, but you could try to get somebody that's going to replace him, at least try to fill his shoes. I'm going to go with Byron Murphy, the second defensive tackle out of Texas. Texas was known for their big offense, their big defensive line this year, and caused havoc, and that's what helped get them to the college playoffs this year. So Byron Murphy out of Texas is going to be my pick for the Rams. So next up, we got the Steel City in Pittsburgh. Who do we think that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to take?
I've got Amarius Mims from Georgia going to the Steelers at this pick. Pittsburgh's got to have a way to protect Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. It doesn't matter who's going to be back there. You're going to have a mobile quarterback that likes to extend plays. You need to have pass protectors, and that was a big issue for the Steelers last year. They need to upgrade their tackle spot. So Amarius Mims coming from Georgia, he kind of fits that steel curtain image a little bit. I think that he'd be a really solid pick at number 20 to upgrade that offensive line.
Derek, who do you have?
And I can't disagree with Corbin's logic there at all. But outside of George Pickens and Freiermuth there in Pittsburgh, who else is Russell Wilson or Justin Fields going to have to throw the ball to on the outside? And I'm going to go with the second best receiver at LSU. And if I'm Pittsburgh at 20, I'm going to take wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr.
Both good picks. Both good picks. I am going to go with Fuaga. I'm going to give him somebody to protect those, whichever quarterback ends up winning that battle, either Fields or
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson. So I'm going to go with Fuaga out of Oregon State at number 20. Number 21, the Miami Dolphins. Who is going to get the lucky pass and be able to go live in Miami? Because wouldn't we all love to go live in Miami? Corbin, who you have?
So this is a player that I've done a few other mocks where he goes significantly earlier than this, but this is just the way the draft is. It's a fluid process. Quinyon Mitchell going to the Miami Dolphins. They released Xavien Howard earlier this offseason. They need to get younger at that cornerback position. And he's got kind of a flashy game, which I think fits a flashy city. So Quinyon Mitchell going to the Miami Dolphins, upgrading their secondary.
Derek?
I'm going to steal a phrase that Corbin used a little bit ago, and the guy that I have at 21 is just changing maybe shades of orange from that Illinois Illini orange to Miami orange and teal. Johnny Newton, defensive tackle at 21 for Miami, put him in the middle.
This one's a tough one for me because we're starting to get down to what is the best fit. Is it the best fit or is it the best player still left on the board? And I, looking at it, I think they need an edge rusher is what they need most. So I'm going to go with Chop Robinson. I saw him. He basically told Michigan, you're not going to pass on us. So he changed that entire game plan and made them go to a run first and only offense. So Chop Robinson to the Miami Dolphins. Next up, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Vance, who do you have going there?
Interesting that you brought up your last pick, because I think there's no better fit in for Philadelphia and he can stay in the state. You put Chop Robinson on the Philadelphia defensive line as an edge rusher with the other two big boys they have in the middle there with Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. And I think you have a tough front there in Philadelphia. So I'm going to go Chop Robinson at 22 for Philadelphia.
That's a really nice idea in the sense that you could make that line so good that your secondary, maybe it doesn't matter as much, but their corner group is terrible. And you talk to people in the organization, you talk to people that cover the team, there might not be a team in this draft that has a need that sticks out the way that cornerback does for the Eagles. And luckily for them in this mock, Kool-Aid McKinstry is available, a player that I think is going to start day one for the Philadelphia Eagles. And with that really good defensive line, not going to have to cover as long, a lot more opportunities for him to get his hands on the football. Playmaker from Alabama. So I think Kool-Aid McKinstry, he's going to bring some Kool-Aid to Philadelphia.
It's a good pick. I am also going to go with corner, but I'm going to go with the other Alabama corner, Mr. Terrion Arnold. I think Kool-Aid will go a little bit later on, but I think Arnold is the more talented one and shows more upside. So now we move on to Minnesota. They move back in. They're in the first round again at number 23. So what do we have with Minnesota?
So I'm going to change my pick here because I forgot that I hadn't traded out. I've traded out with the Vikings almost every single mock draft that I've done. They need offensive line help. And one player that I think would really help protect Michael Penix Jr., have an Oregon Duck snap to a Washington Husky. Jackson Powers Johnson is a violent, aggressive, kind of goofy player. And I think there might be some teams that are rubbed the wrong way with that, but I don't think Minnesota will be. And I enjoyed interviewing him at the combine. He's a really funny dude that really loves football too. So get a center that you can pair with your new quarterback. So Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon going to the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay, Derek.
I can't argue with that. I like where Corbin's head is with that. Earlier, the Minnesota GM in my eyes got a game changer in the back half with Tyron Arnold at corner, and I'm gonna pair him up with somebody that can change the game up front, and that's where I'm going to take the defensive tackle from Texas, Byron Murphy the second.
Okay, I am going to go with a Clemson Tiger, the cornerback Nate Wiggins. I think that the Chargers need, seeing I traded out, the Chargers have this pick now. I think that I'm going to go with Nate Wiggins to the Chargers. Okay, next up we have Dallas, America's team, as everyone calls them. What do you think Jerry is going to go out there and pick?
I'm going to have to say that this is all about the offensive line. I mean, right now they don't have anything to protect Jerry World down there in Fort Worth. They got to get that line fortified, what was once one of the strongest in the league. They've got some decent young players there, but they lost Tyron Smith to the Jets after a long time in Dallas. They need to get a tackle. So this is where I see J.C. Latham from Alabama falling and bringing them that physical mentality, a polished pass protector for Dak Prescott that he can slide right into Tyron Smith's spot at left tackle, and he can be a starter on day one.
Derek, who do you think?
Well, as we have for the majority of this mock draft, me and Corbin are thinking on the same wavelength, except on the offensive line for me, it all starts in the middle. You got to have somebody that can make your calls to the offensive line. And like you said, Dallas, many moons ago had a great offensive line. It has fallen off in the past few years. I have Dallas at 24 taking the center from Duke, Graham Barton.
Okay. I think Jerry's going to go. I think they're going to go flashy. They want to get they want to put more points up. They want to sell more jerseys. I think they are going to pair CeeDee Lamb up with Keon Coleman, the big wide receiver out of Florida State. I just think they want more weapons that Dak can throw to. And I think this is a make or break year for Dak. And I think they go with Keon Coleman out of Florida State. Next up, we have Green Bay Packers. Who is what unfortunate soul is going to have to go play in the frozen tundra in late December when it's 0 degrees and you can see your breath? Derek,
This is where I think Green Bay levels up at corner, and I know Josh, you picked this player a few picks ago, but I think this is where the corner from Clemson, Nate Wiggins, falls to Green Bay at 25 and shores up the back half of their defense.
Great minds think alike. That's who I've got going to the Packers here as well. He's the best corner that is left on my board. Jair Alexander is still very good, but there is a Mount Everest-sized crevasse between him and the rest of the corners on that roster. They need to upgrade the other quarterback spot. So, Nate Wiggins, you're going from warm Carolina weather to Lambeau Field.
Well, I'm going to go with the Big Ten and somebody that Corbin picked a little bit ago, a cornerback out of Iowa. I'm going to give the Green Bay Packers Cooper DeJean. I think that him playing in Iowa, I mean, it doesn't get as cold in Iowa as it does in Green Bay, but I think he can adapt to it. And I think that they really need a cornerback that's a dynamic player. So, as we get in down and we're number 26, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, almost as good as going to Miami, but not totally. Who is going to go be a pirate, Corbin?
Graham Barton is going to become a pirate. He's going to be the new center for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've had some injuries there. Jensen was the starter a number of years, but he could not get healthy. So they need to restart there. And Graham Barton will start day one at center. And you want to talk about a guy that could start at all five positions in the NFL, a very rare player in that sense. I think he could play both tackle spots. He could play both guard spots, but they need a center. Graham Barton is going to instantly improve their run game too. He is the nastiest run blocker in this draft class. I don't know how many times that this guy was making pancakes, but he might as well be sponsored by IHOP on his uniform. And this guy just cleans it up out there and gets out the syrup and the butter, and he gets it done in the offensive line.
Vance?
Well, I'm going to go a center too. And with Baker Mayfield signing that huge contract extension to keep his time in Tampa Bay rolling on, he's going to need somebody, a new fresh blood up front to keep him upright. And as Corbin alluded to just a few picks ago, Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon will be able to do that.
Okay. I'm going to agree with Corbin. I'm going to go with Graham Barton also. I think he's a like you said, he's a fantastic center. He's going to get in there and open up some holes and protect Baker Mayfield. So I'm going with Graham Barton. Next up, we have Arizona is on the clock again. Who do we have going to Arizona, Derek?
Well, you look at the plethora of receivers that are living in the NFC West. You know, you have the two studs the Rams have, and if they were to add Brock Bowers, you know, you look at the wide receiver core that San Francisco has, and then, you know, Corbin, what Seattle has in their chamber at receiver as well. You know, Arizona already has their playmaker on offense with Marvin Harrison Jr. So to combat the wide receivers that Arizona is going to see in the NFC West, this is where the other Alabama corner, Kool-Aid McKinstry, comes in 27 to Arizona.
Corbin, who do you have them taking?
The Cardinals have some deficiencies on their defensive line. Jonathan Gannon's got to try to figure that out and retool that group up front. I could see them going corner here, absolutely. But if Byron Murphy II falls to 27, as happens in this mock draft, a guy that I think is a top 20 caliber player in this draft, you just run that pick over to Roger Goodell and have him announce it. So Byron Murphy II loading up on the defensive line And now all the guards and centers in the NFC West have to worry about, maybe he's not Aaron Donald 2.0, but they got to worry about a really explosive athlete that can do a lot of damage as a run defender and a pass rusher for the Cardinals.
Well, earlier in the I gave the Cardinals a dynamic wide receiver, and now I'm going to give them a dynamic offensive guard in Troy Fatanu. Troy Fatanu, so that they can he can get in there and help protect Kyler Murray so that Kyler can stay healthy this year. So as we get into number 28, Buffalo, who is going to go play with Buffalo?
I view this as similar to what I said to the New York Jets earlier, where if they don't take a lineman, everybody in the front office should be fired. If the Bills don't take a receiver here, I mean, who is Josh Allen going to throw to right now? I mean, they might as well get a few DoorDash drivers and put them in uniform at this point. They don't have any receivers. So Brian Thomas Jr., the number two receiver from LSU, who I think has a chance to be an absolute stud in the league, they need to give Josh Allen a bona fide number one weapon to replace Stephon Diggs. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is the guy to do that pretty quickly in his NFL career and give the Bills a true playmaker on the outside.
Derek?
Yeah, I think, you know, Corbin is absolutely right. Just looking at their depth chart, it's a, you know, it's the old shadowy figures that Josh Allen right now has to throw to. But I'm looking the back half of the Buffalo Bills defense, and who better makes a Buffalo man than the safety from Iowa, Cooper DeJean.
Okay. Both good picks. I am going to give I'm going to go the wide receiver route. I am going to give them Ladd McConkey, Georgia. When Bowers went down early in the season and Georgia had to rely on a wide receiver, they went to Ladd McConkey, and I think he would fit well into that system. So Ladd McConkey is my choice for him. Next we have Detroit, the Detroit Lions. This is probably the lowest they've picked in a long time, and I'm sure they're happy about that. So, who do you have, Corbin, going to Detroit?
I cannot envision a better landing spot for Chop Robinson, being the raw ball of Play-Doh that he is with all the athletic tools he has, having him across from Aiden Hutchinson. Quarterbacks in the NFC North are not going to be sleeping well at night leading up to games against the Detroit Lions with those two. When you can make the argument that Chop Robinson, he could potentially have a higher ceiling than the already very good Aiden Hutchinson. That's the kind of potential this kid has. And I just think Dan Campbell's done a phenomenal job there in Detroit. His coaching staff knows how to develop players. So this would be the perfect landing spot for him. I think Chop Robinson becomes a bona fide star in the Motor City.
Derek, who do you have him taking?
You know, I failed to realize what Detroit's defense would look like if you have Hutch on one side and Chop Robinson on the other. So I love that pick, absolutely. But somebody that the three receivers that we've talked about so highly of, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze, there's another receiver that I think can enter that conversation. And if you match him with the already offensive weapons Detroit has with Jamison Williams, Amrod St. Brown, and Sam Laporta, and Detroit gets to stretch the field a little more. I like the receiver that started his career in Georgia, ended in Texas, Adon Mitchell. Adon Mitchell at 29 for Detroit.
Okay. I am going to give them a dynamic corner. He's got the best name in the entire draft. They're going to pick up Kool-Aid McKinstry. I think he's going to learn under Dan Mitchell, and he is going to become a heck of a corner. So next we move on to the team that had the best record in the entire NFL. That would be the Baltimore Ravens. Who do the Baltimore Ravens pick, Derek?
the Ravens here at 30, you know, they love to run the ball, obviously, with the plethora of running backs they've had over the years. And then with Lamar Jackson back there as well. I think they need to retool their offensive line. And at 30, Tyler Guyton, tackle from Oklahoma, I think would do that for the Ravens.
Okay. Corbin, who do you have them taking?
It feels like it has just been an endless path to trying to give Lamar Jackson a quality stable of receivers. They had Odell Beckham Jr. last year. They haven't re-signed him. I think you give Lamar Jackson a record-breaking speed receiver. Xavier Worthy in that offense. Could you imagine him taking the top off of defense? Because Lamar Jackson is a really good downfield thrower. They just haven't had enough good receivers to be able to take advantage of it. But I think that this would be a great landing spot for Xavier Worthy. And Lamar Jackson would be loving the fact he's going to have a guy with sub 4.25 speed that he can launch the ball up to downfield. And he plays that fast too. So get a track athlete with good hands, can run routes well, and put him on Baltimore's offense. And he has a chance to blow up early with the Ravens.
I went with the offensive line route. I'm going to go with Jackson Powers Johnson, Oregon. I know you guys picked him a little bit earlier, but he drops a little bit farther in my mock draft down to the Baltimore Ravens. Now we have the San Francisco 49ers, the reigning NFC defending champions. Who do you think John Lynch is going to choose, Corbin?
I think that they need to get their offensive line further solidified. Obviously, Trent Williams is still a very good player, but he is not getting any younger. He's getting up there in years. They lost Mike McGlinchey in free agency a couple years ago. So I think this is where Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma ends up. And I think you put him on the other tackle spot. He's played both tackle positions. You put him opposite of Trent Williams, then he could eventually be Trent Williams' successor in a few years, once he slows down or eventually retires. So I think Guyton starts from on day one across from Trent Williams and has a chance to really blossom in San Francisco.
Derek, who do you have?
And again, I am right there with what Corbin said. But for San Francisco here at 31, again, offensive tackle, obviously, the kid out of BYU, Kingsley Suamatua. 2A, I believe that's how that's pronounced. You know, like I said, put him opposite Trent Williams, someone great to learn from, and just let him flourish.
I'm going to go with what Corbin said, and I think they need I'm going to go with Tyler Guyton. Their offensive line needs shored up. So who better for Guyton to learn under than Trent Williams? So and now we have come to our very last pick of the entire draft, the reigning defending Super Bowl champions over there in Kansas City. Corbin, who do you think they are going to take?
They need to give Patrick Mahomes a receiver that is reliable, that can actually catch the football consistently. It's crazy they won a Super Bowl without having any receivers on their roster that were able to consistently do that. And there are some really athletic receivers that are still on the board, maybe bigger name guys, but can you imagine Ladd McConkey, the player that he is, the precise route runner who doesn't drop passes, just plays the game the right way, and he's a better athlete than advertised. He tested better than people thought he was going to. Imagine Patrick Mahomes passing the football to him. He would be a perennial 1,200-plus yard receiver in that offense. Andy Reid would get him open with plenty of space to run. Mahomes would deliver, and he'd actually catch the damn football. I think McConkey, that would be a pick the rest of the league. Every other GM would be like, really? You're going to add this guy to that offense? But they need a reliable, soft-handed receiver, and I just think McConkey fits that offense.
Derek, who are you going to go with for the defending champions?
You know, putting Ladd McConkey in that receiving core, I fear whoever has to defend Kansas City this season. But, and again, same wavelength, but picture this. I think I have one better. At 32, can you imagine if Xavier Worthy falls to Kansas City at 32.
You stole my thunder. That's who I was going to pick too. I was going to compare him to the other cheetah, the one that left and went down to Miami. But Worthy, with his speed, he would almost certainly be great for Patrick Mahomes, and he can catch the ball. He can catch the ball just as well as any other wide receiver. I think just his size, only be at 6'1", kind of detours, but that speed makes up for it. So he would end up becoming the best wide receiver on that team instantly, in my opinion, outside of Travis Kelce, who's actually a tight end. So well, gentlemen, that was fun. I've never actually done a full mock draft. I mean, you know, I've speculated here and there. I hope you guys had fun. And Corbin, I want to thank you for coming on and spending a little bit of time with us, giving up your valuable time, because everyone's free time is valuable. They could be doing something else. So I'd love to thank you, Corbin, for coming on, and hope maybe later on in the season we can have you on and we can talk more about Seahawks and the Colts and just anything else that has to do with football.
Sounds good, guys. I appreciate it. I had a blast.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it for us, Derek. I mean, we're about an hour and 16 minutes in. We had some other topics we're going to talk about, but we could probably push those to next week. What do you think?
Yeah, good stuff. That was pretty exciting. A lot of us, all three of us, in a lot of picks, were thinking along the same wavelength. So it's going to be interesting to see in 1 week's time how everything unfolds. But yeah, definitely loved having Corbin on, and we'll have to have him on maybe during the season to give us Seattle updates and just around the NFL as well. But I do know, Josh, before we go, we do have to pay some bills, so we'll get to that right now.
Yep. Smallwood's Crazy Sweet Treats. They've been a loyal sponsor to us ever since episode one. Freeze-dried candies and any other type of candy you could think of. Go check them out on TikTok at Crazy Sweet Treats 23 and place your order today. And also, we have the New Bethel Ordinary out there in Wanamaker, Indiana, off of Southeastern Avenue. Some of the best pizza and wings and breadsticks and any type of food that they have. They put love into it, and their wings are delicious. So go in and check them out. They're a fantastic mom and pop store, and we love them. We love that they love to broadcast and advertise on our wavelengths here. Well, Derek, that was a heck of a show for our comeback show after being off for a little while. Of course, Corbin came on and he gave his insight. His knowledge of every player that he picked and given reasons of why he chose that player just is astounding and shows how much of a professional he is. So I strive to be like him one day.
Yeah, what a great guest, and I can tell you, like he's mentioned when he came on with us, when he joined us earlier, we did have the opportunity for a couple years to coach at Franklin Central at a great high school out here in Indianapolis. But being a coach on the side, Corbin also had a huge passion for journalism, especially when it come to the Seattle Seahawks. So I have seen where he started at, from just a simple podcast to now being a beat reporter for the Seattle Seahawks, for SI, and then for Locked On as well. So Corbin definitely deserves his flowers and all of his praise and his continued professionalism when it comes to podcasts and then covering the NFL as well.
Definitely, definitely. We're going to have him on later on in the season when we're actually watching football and not just speculating on how people are going to pick. So Well, next week, we will be coming to you. We'll be coming to you live doing, doing a coverage of the NFL draft. So, for me and Derek Vance over on the other side, we'd like to say thank you for coming and watching us, and come watch us again next week. We look forward to it.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay.